Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along this week. Hope you had a good President's Day, if you had the day off. If you didn't have the day off, welcome to week two of the week. Coming up this hour, a little bit more from the baseball fallout from the Astros, because now we've got media days around the country, and now it is open season on Houston. You know, before, everyone was just going to be quiet. Everyone was just going to keep it to themselves. Everything was supposed to go away. And now it's everybody wants to chat. Everybody wants to share their opinion on what they think should happen to the Astros. This is Rob Manfred's worst nightmare. Worst nightmare. Especially when guys like Mike Trout are speaking out. You don't want this. But we got to get to the Daytona 500, which was yesterday. Denny Hamlin won the race. He's second in a row and third overall, but that wasn't the story. The story yesterday was the Ryan Newman crash at the end of the race. You hear this a lot. People who watch the sport occasionally will say, I love watching the crashes. And then you see one and you go, wait a minute. I don't know. Do I really like this? It was one of the most spectacular crashes that we've seen on a final lap. Ryan Newman was leading the race. Ryan Blaney was coming down to give him a push. The cars didn't match, which is what you need when you want to draft. You have to get them in right in line. But there was just too much going on, and there was a bump. Newman spun, went into the wall, flipped on its hood, got hit by Corey LaJoy. He went right down the front straightaway on the hood of his car, on the roof. Car caught on fire, went down into the infield. They had to bring emergency personnel to get him out. They took him to an area hospital. He was in serious condition with non-life-threatening injuries, whatever that means. And Denny Hamlin's team won the Daytona 500. We'll talk more about that, because I got to be honest with you. I have it in the corner on my computer and still watching it. It is mind-boggling that he is not dead. Mind-boggling. But if you know anything about the sport, it really isn't all that surprising. We'll talk about that next as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Ron's back today after taking President's Day off yesterday. Good job.
I had to get all El Presidente on myself.
Yeah. Did you celebrate a president?
Well, I spent some presidents.
I know.
Not willingly.
I know. That's what happens on President's Day. So, good to have you back. I'm glad you were able to get some rest, handle some family business.
That's all it was about.
That's right. Did you watch the Daytona 500 yesterday at all? Did you see the crash?
I did see the crash.
It's crazy.
I would always go back to Robin Williams when he was joking about the Daytona 500, how people say, you know, they watched it for the sport of the race. You know, or something along the lines like, you know, people don't get excited for the crashes.
Right.
And because he was like, yeah, because people like watching cars take left turns all day.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, we do want to watch it for the crashes. But then, like you said, opening this hour, when you see a crash happen like that one yesterday, I'm amazed anyone is alive.
Oh, no kidding. It's watching him get hit, he's going 200 miles an hour, like 180 or 190, right? He's coming off this turn. He gets airborne, then he lands on the roof, and then the car is flying down on the roof. And it's trying to, you know, it's using its momentum, and then it catches fire. Now, they put up like a black screen so they can extract him from the car. They didn't want people to see. They didn't know what condition he was going to be in. That's the other horrible scene. When you don't know what condition the driver's in. You know, like you may say he's alive, but you don't know what you're going to get when you get to the car, the mangled wreck of metal.
Not only that, but with that much sparks going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what they wear, flame retardant suits, but still.
But still, exactly.
I mean, I don't know. That, to me, that was the scariest thing I could ever imagine being in.
Yeah, it's, and so... So watching it, there was one famous Daytona accident years and years ago. It involved Rusty Wallace, where the car got airborne and really was flipping. It was actually in the air, turning over and over and over as it barreled down the straightaway. And so I remember when I was covering NASCAR, I used to ask about this, like these accidents. How do these guys walk away from this stuff? And you know, you hear a little bit of science behind it. They'll say like, well, you know. At least you're going forward. At least the momentum of the car is still going, right? It's what killed Dale Earnhardt was going from 180 to nothing, right? That's how Dale Earnhardt died. He was going 180 miles an hour, whatever he was going. And then he went up and then his car went boom and it just hit the wall and kind of that's the differential of speed. At least the car is moving forward, right? It's the momentum of the car is continuing. So there's no sudden stops per se, but you're still watching it going, he's in that vehicle. Like he's in that car and it's flipping upside down and it's being mangled on all sides. And he's just in this cage. I mean, it's amazing. But the reality of it is this sport is incredible when it comes to technology and literally trying to build safer cars.
Well, that was one of the reports that came out was that, you know, because of Dale Earnhardt's crash, that's what saved Hamlin yesterday.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now that's the legacy of the death of Dale Earnhardt, is that they have really went above and beyond to try to go, okay, look, let's take this even to the next level and see how much we can protect drivers in the roll cages, harness straps, Hans device, all those things that the technology of the sport has been using since that day in 2001.
God, it's been that long.
I know. I was trying to think of the year. I was like, my God, it was right at the turn. But you're right. That's 100% correct. That's the legacy of Dale Earnhardt's death, is that we are getting safer and safer cars. That you can watch an accident like that. Now he didn't walk away. He was taken to hospital, but he wasn't a mangled wreck of death when they got to him. He was alive, non-threatening injuries. That's another thing that was amazing to me. He's in serious condition, but the injuries are not life threatening. Now, if you had told me he was in serious condition, like likely to make it, but he does have life threatening internal injuries, I would have been like, okay, it's glad he's not dead, but I'm not surprised that he has. But he doesn't have life-threatening injuries getting in a crash like that. It's crazy. But that's the sport. Recently the movie Ford versus Ferrari just came out. And I haven't seen it yet. But I know a little bit about the history of the Le Mans race and drivers back then. Did you know drivers back in those days, it wasn't that they had like a death wish or anything, but most of them knew that they would probably perish in a car accident on the road. Like they didn't wear seat belts because why bother? The car is usually caught on fire. I mean, they were real daredevils back in the day. I mean, there was really no safety mechanism for the car. The driver got in, drove off. Some of them wore seatbelts. Some of them didn't want to because they wanted to escape the car if it went off the track and crashed and caught fire. They could just jump out quickly. They don't want to be trapped in the car. A lot of them was their fear. I remember reading a book about NASCAR, and I'm telling you, this is the funny thing about the sport, because I remember reading this history. When I first got covering, I didn't know a thing. I mean, I didn't know a thing about auto racing. And I remember getting just books and everything, reading up on the history of it. And when they built Talladega, right, when they built Talladega, that thing was so fast, right? Cars were going 220, 230 down the straightaway. There were drivers that pulled into the pit area and said, I ain't doing this. No way. Because they weren't racing those kind of tracks. That wasn't what they were, that's not how they were making their living. Their living as race car drivers was racing, you know, half mile ovals.
tight turns, short tracks, things like that. Going fast, of course, but not 200. There, the car back then, if it went sideways going down the back straight at Daytona or Talladega, would have the aerodynamics of an airplane wing. It would fly. It would get up in the air. It would fly. They'd find them in the cornfield across the way. They were like, ain't doing this. And now you get all of this technology, all of these studies, all of this research, all over the years, saying, all right, we've got to prevent that from happening. How do we prevent that from happening? Softer walls for impacts, right? Better devices in the car so drivers can stay secure and safe, so that they're not moving around, so that if the body can stay in one spot as tight as it possibly can within some sort of protection, then you're likely going to be alive when your car is tumbling down a straightaway, even getting hit by other cars. You're likely to walk away or still likely to survive. And that's the takeaway from the Daytona 500. This sport's Super Bowl, right, was a solemn celebration because nobody knew if Ryan Newman was alive or dead. But if they knew he was alive, they didn't know how alive he was. Like, there's fireworks are supposed to go off. There's all this joy, tears, winning the Daytona 500. For Denny Hamlin, it's his third championship in that race, third title in that race. It's their biggest race of the year. It's how the season kicks off.
Yep.
Instead, you've got prayers. Everybody's on their knees. Everybody's solemn. Everybody's quiet. Right? Happened at when Dale Earnhardt died. Right? Michael Waltrip, part of Dale Earnhardt's team, won the race, celebrating, realizes there's an accident. Nobody knows how bad it is. Then they go, we lost Dale Earnhardt. Everybody goes, oh my God. Right? And that's what I thought was going to happen in this race.
Yes.
I thought this, my thought was, oh my God, that thing's on fire.
That's, please. I was trying to put myself into his shoes yesterday. It's like you're first of all, you're sliding down on your hood. I mean, do you just have your eyes closed? Are you just gripping that wheel so tight?
Yeah.
It's like, please let this end soon.
Oh God. And then I don't know what your brain processes. I don't know.
You just black out.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know what you're thinking as you're doing that other than just go along for the ride and just hope for the best. But if I don't know if they're thinking, oh my God, here's, and by the way, I'm leading the race. I've got a pack of cars behind me all going up, 200 miles an hour. Where am I in relation to that?
Right.
Like how many cars are going to hit me while I'm barreling down the straightaway, flipping over on my hood, catching on fire? I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am on the track. I don't know who's out there. I don't know what's coming. I mean, it's got to be petrifying. I mean, absolutely petrifying. But it's just the nature of it. And again, it's as I said at the top, we hear this over and over again. I watch for the crashes. Then you see a crash and you're like, oh, shoot, did I really want this? I mean, sometimes it's just, I think what people want are the crashes where you see the drivers get out of the car, they're throwing helmets and they're angry, but they're walking away, right?
Ready to fight.
Ready to fight. I think that's what they want.
When they have that hockey player mentality.
Right.
Gloves come off.
That's right.
Helmet comes off.
The idea of the idea of taking black canvas and not showing a driver, getting out of a vehicle, being taken out of a vehicle is probably not what people thought.
Are we seeing like just a burn victim now?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's exactly right.
I mean, was his uniform just burnt off because he was literally in a ball of fire?
I mean, Joe Gibbs
upside down on a track.
Joe Gibbs had to apologize for his team celebrating the Daytona 500. They won the race, but they didn't know how Ryan Newman was. is amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along on a Tuesday. All right, coming up, it is open season on the Astros. Talked about this yesterday, and now even more as teams have been gathering. Players have been reporting in, like full teams have been reporting in now, so the media is getting a hold of them, and now it seems like everybody wants to take their shot, including Mike Trout of the Angels. And Anthony Rendon, who joined the Angels, says the Nationals knew the whole time. Well, did they? We'll talk about that next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's O-Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Earn double O-Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O-Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I gotta apologize. I'm catching a cold, which is awful. By the way, if anybody wants to give me a cold remedy on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm sick of medicine. My wife gave me these pills yesterday. I thought it was going to choke. They were gigantic. And you can't chew them.
She goes, give you a horse pill?
She goes, take these. I go, what is, take what? She goes, take these. They were huge. They were like capsules. You know, they're like, you know, they got the gel in them, right? But you don't chew them. You swallow them. So she had like a bottle of Diet Pepsi that she was drinking. And I said, well, can I have some? I can't just swallow these. She goes, here, just take this. So I drink it and, you know, and I drink a lot of it. She goes, you know what? Fine. Just take the whole bottle. And I go, well, I can't. I'm going to choke if I swallow these pills. She goes, ah, fine, I'll go get another one. She was like mad at me. I was like, you don't want this anyway. I'm sick. I've got a cold. The weather, it's the weather. It is nothing but the weather. It's nasty. It's cold. It's rainy. Then it'll be warm and you think it's warm. And then you go out and it's cold again. It's incredibly crazy. So anyway, I'm hoping it'll work, but God, I remember when you were a kid, you got like syrup, like on a spoon.
Yes.
Right. It was nasty, but it was kind of flavored like grape or something like that. But anyway,
candy grape, like that fake grape.
The best it possibly could. But you know, these, they were like, it's medicine. What do you want? Now, I don't know what she gave me. I have no idea. I don't know if it was daytime stuff, nighttime stuff. I have no clue. One time she gave me nighttime stuff and I had the whole day of running errands and I thought I was having a heart attack. She goes, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That was nighttime. You're supposed to go to sleep after you took that. I was like, oh, thanks for telling me.
That happened to me once. My wife, she just went, or no, I think it was my fault. I went and bought ibuprofen and I didn't realize that I'd bought the nighttime ibuprofen.
Yeah. You go right to bed.
Yeah. And so I was, you know, I take more than two. Most of the time when I take ibuprofen, just because, you know, if I take ibuprofen, I'm in pain.
Why not? Yeah. So
usually take more than two. And then I was about to do that with the nighttime. And I was like, oh, man, that could have put me in a coma. At least I would have had a good sleep.
Oh, no. I was running around, running all over the place. And I had this nighttime cold medicine inside of me. And my body was like, sleep. No, run around. Sleep. No. And, oh, you know what? Just shut it down. And I thought I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. I was feeling all sorts of queasy, dizzy. I had to lay down for a minute. I had to sit down and click my head. And I was like, wait a minute, this isn't right. This is a terrible reaction to cold medicine. All right. So again, it's open season on the Astros. I was talking a little bit about this yesterday. This is Rob Manfred's nightmare. All right, he wants it to go away. He wanted an investigation where they said, okay, the Astros did some things wrong, but in the end, they're not losing their title. Everybody go their merry way. Everybody be fine. We're punishing the people who were at the top are getting punished. Let's just leave it at that. But it ain't going anywhere. Right now, players are just freely talking about this, opening up and saying, hey, I'm angry about this. I'm upset about this. One player, journeyman pitcher for the Blue Jays is suing. Like, it's just an avalanche of negativity that is pouring on Houston now. And again, whether you think it's deserved or not, it's the reality that's going on in baseball. We're not even looking at baseball and saying, hey, look, who's hot? Who's not? Who's going to do well in this location? Can the Nationals repeat? What about the Yankees getting Gerrit Cole? There's all these storylines, but it doesn't matter. Everybody wants to talk about the sign-stealing scandal and wants to take their shots at the 2017 World Series champs, including the best player in the game. Now, here's a clip from Mike Trout, because I can't stress this enough, that this is a bad look for Major League Baseball. And a bad look for Rob Manfred, who really desperately wants this to disappear as best he possibly can. He doesn't want this. Now, here's Trout, who thinks Major League Baseball should do more.
If you know what's coming, it's going to definitely help you. I think that's, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see for sure.
All right, that's Mike Trout. Now, think about what he just said, right? His brothers in the baseball union, he wants punished more. The fact that they didn't get punished is perplexing to him. Here's Trout again as he continues this thought on what Major League Baseball is not doing.
Obviously, the GM got fired and Hinch got fired, but just the players not getting nothing. I mean, definitely not right. I thought for sure. I mean, obviously, they had something to know that they were cheating. So, I don't know. It's just a tough subject to talk about. They cheated the game. They just cheated players, I mean, it's just tough to see.
See, now here's why it's problematic for Rob Manfred. We talk about this all the time with commissioners. What's the big thing? What's the big scare of the commissioners? Well, it's not individual players, for example, doing things off the field that are illegal, right? Because you can handle that. The law can come in and help you, right? Like, let's say you have a player, prominent player, and he's accused of domestic violence, severe domestic violence.
Which we've had.
There are things in place within the system of baseball in terms of suspensions, but then there's also the law. The law of the land comes in and goes, it's also our responsibility to enact justice for the citizens of this country. So if he's beating his wife, we step in. You guys obviously have the business side of things to deal with, but we also have the law side to deal with. He's breaking the law. If you're using drugs, if you commit murder, if you do whatever it is, right? You're almost backed up by the law. You can push that player out and push that player away. But what happens when the crime, quote unquote, is not a crime from the law of the land, but a crime within your own game? And what if it challenges the integrity of your game? How you handle that is going to be how history is going to view you. Look, we still talk over 100 years later about the Black Sox scandal that happened in the World Series, where players threw the World Series because they received money from gamblers. All right? We still buzz about that every now and then. Baseball has a problem with this. Something pops up in its history every now and then that puts the integrity of the game at check. Now you have a team that won the World Series has been accused of cheating. Now again, listen. Every one of you individually has a right to how you view that crime, how you view it. Some, no big deal. Everybody does it. They just got caught. Great. Some, the entire thing is flawed. The entire game is flawed. The entire World Series championship is flawed. Okay. That is at the core of why Rob Manfred is looking at this and has to figure out what to do. Does he make this such a big deal? Okay? Such a big deal that he's suspending countless players across baseball, right? Where he finds something that's going on with Minnesota and he finds a little thing going on in Seattle. Or I'm not saying these actually occurred, but you know what I'm saying? If you believe that this actually is going on, but the Astros got caught. All right, what does he do? This was what Bud Selig was dealing with steroids, right? When they had no steroid policy whatsoever, right? None. Seelig's, one of Seelig's problems was, well, how deep is this? How many people are using this? It's, if it's not just the home run guys, the guys whose statistics are popping out like an eyesore, what if this is deep? What if I'm getting rid of 15% of the labor pool because of these suspensions? But on the other side, if he doesn't make a big deal of that, you got the best player in the globe saying, yeah, something should have been done.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Guys, basketball's in full swing now. We're heading into the stretch run of the NBA playoffs into the NCAA tournament. Sign up today at Bet Online, our exclusive sports betting partners, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can start betting college or pro sports. Every spread, every total, every winner or loser, get straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season, and even bet on the wild prop bets like who will win the NBA MVP. Get the fastest market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, Bet Online. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to join. Use the promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55 to receive your 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Frankenberry on Twitter, mix the following. This is from my cold. Half an ounce of whiskey, not bourbon, 1.5 ounces of boiling water, 1 tablespoon grain sugar, and 2 cloves. All right. I think I'd do that.
And then chase that down with a bowl of Frankenberry.
That's right. That's right.
That's how you get rid of it, man.
I gotta kill this. It's not so much the stuffy head, it's the aches. Yeah. I don't like the aches that come with a cold.
Well, I will admit, I'm a little disappointed in Frankenberry's remedy because he did not include his signature cereal.
That's true. Or strawberry-esque flavor.
Yes.
Like mix in a strawberry extract for like, added flavor.
Or what about strawberry Nesquik?
Yeah, that's true.
Do they still make that, by the way?
Boy, I don't know, man.
Is Nesquik still a thing? Is it called Nesquik? I don't remember what it's called.
That's funny, yeah.
Remember that chocolate powder?
That chocolate powder. Yeah. You ever eat just the powder?
No.
I'm
not a savage.
No, it's not as fun as it sounds. Even as a kid I liked that kind of thing. Yeah, it's not as good. It's like Ovaltine. I tried it with Ovaltine when I was a kid. Yeah, it dissolves and there is a chocolatey taste, but it's not a delicious chocolatey taste.
Oh man, you just have to load so much chocolate powder.
Oh
in there.
Yeah. Oh god.
Like half and if you did it, can went in the milk.
If you did it right and you got the chocolate milk, there was always a little bit of that like powdered goodness at the bottom of your glass.
Yep.
That after you drank the milk, you'd get that afterwards as like a treat. Like you drink the chocolate milk and then you would get like this mix powder, mostly powder, but like some milk concoction that would glide off the glass.
Clumped it together. It was a chocolate clump, basically.
It was a chocolate clump. That's right. That's right.
Left a long streak down the glass.
That's exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? Next time we go, I haven't sought after it for a while, but I wonder if they still make it. I mean, they have to, right?
I think they do.
But then again, I mean, I can't tell you if I've ever seen Ovaltine in the stores.
I don't think I've seen Ovaltine in forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they make it. Maybe they don't make it because Hershey's chocolate syrup is so much easier.
Ovaltine was like a product where, like, when I think of Ovaltine, and this is no fault of the company, but when I think of Ovaltine, I think of like a very old newsreel like sports thing.
Yes.
Where like you would watch like Joe DiMaggio, right? You'd be like, Joe DiMaggio got 2 hits last night as the New York Yankees beat the Boston Red Sox by a score of 6-5. How'd you do it, Jolton Joe? Well, I drink Ovaltine every single morning. That's right, kids. Ovaltine. It's the champion's drink, right? Like something like that. So I don't know if it's still around. It's like,
you know. I mean, I'm, to that point, I think of the Christmas Story.
Christmas Story, right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Drink your old, where he's so excited.
Got the decoder.
Yeah, he's so excited to decipher Little Orphan Annie's secret message on the radio. And it's drink your Ovaltine. And he's freaking out because it's a commercial.
B. E. Yeah. S, first word is B. I got that. Yeah,
I got that. I know. That's great. Yeah. So, yeah, that's good stuff. So, yeah, I will. I don't know. I think I got these ingredients, Frankenberry, at home. I'll try it out. All right. So, continuing the onslaught.
I hope so. You're in Tennessee. Wow. You should have whiskey.
I do.
Doesn't that come in the mail?
Definitely do. Yes.
That and your free sample of Tide?
For some reason, we have a bottle of we have a full bottle of Jack Daniels
in
the pantry
you do.
That my wife got from somebody.
We don't like it. Comes with the house. It's a welcome package.
Actually, true. It does come with the house. Everybody gets the Lynchburg lemonade. but yeah, I never use it, and this might be a chance to use it. Very good.
Any excuse.
Exactly. So we're talking about the onslaught that's coming the Astros' way from now. Players. The Angels in Arizona had their media day. Anthony Rendon, who's now on the Angels, but, you know, played against the Astros in the World Series. Of course he had something to say. Here's Rendon saying he lost respect for Houston.
I'm not sure about respect, but you definitely can view them differently. But in the end of the day, I think... I've been thinking about this a lot, too, because I knew this day was going to come and I was going to get a lot of questions about it. And everyone's, you know, quick to, like, hammer them down and, you know, basically just kill them, basically. But at the end of the day, like, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror. We're not perfect people. And, I mean, whether it's a speeding ticket or whatever it might be, you know, some of us are trying to get an edge somewhere or another in life. And they happen to get caught for doing it. And, man, you can forgive them, but it doesn't mean you have to forget.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, Rob Manfred wants you to forget.
Yes.
Right? And you're not going to forget.
Well, that's the whole point of him putting the, what was it, the, not I'm trying to remember the term, stranglehold, chokehold on him. You know, where he tried to silence, I mean, definitely right. Wanted to silence the Dodgers. Didn't want anyone talking about it.
Really, really, really wish you wouldn't address this, if you could. If you know you were going to get asked, but, yeah, trying to be like, just, you know, let's not make this about none of a molehill, can we? And he can't because the genie's out of the bottle now. Here's Rendon again on hometown team.
Definitely being a hometown kid. I mean, I grew up diehard Astros fan. I watched the Killer Bees, you know, Biggio, Bagwell, Berkman, Derek Bell. So my Astros are close to my heart and close to home. And while all my family members, all my friends back home are Astros fans. But, I mean, when we step on the field or when I step on the field, I mean, they're an enemy. So we got to try to beat them. But it definitely stung a little bit different being from home.
Now, he went to Rice, right?
Yes.
They had a billboard for him to congratulate him and, you know, blah, because he's a hometown guy.
Yeah.
In Houston. So
that's why a lot of people thought he might be coming to Houston when it was traded. But problem is that they already have a good, solid third baseman.
Right. Right. That's very true.
Really good at banging a trash can, apparently.
No, apparently so. So, again, this is the way, you know, baseball, you know, players are now speaking out on this. A lot of them are angry. But listen, here's the thing. I've been seeing a lot of, look, because I know a lot of you guys down in Houston, and I'm friends with a lot of you guys on social media, people that have come and gone from the network. You know, I'm seeing a lot of defensiveness from people who are Astros fans. And that is so important because this is like what the Patriot fans did in New England. Right? They weren't angry at the Patriots for Spygate. They weren't angry at the nonsense that was Deflategate. They're not angry. They rally around the team. And here's, especially in this situation, right? The Patriots had won a couple of Super Bowls already before Spygate hit and before Deflategate and all that mess occurred. The Astros had never won a World Series before. The Astros were a team that was in last place just a few years before winning the World Series, right? Trusting in the process. And for somebody that's lived in Houston their whole life or grew up an Astros fan their whole life, it's a moment you can't begin to describe unless you've known it yourself, and many of you probably have, where a team you've rooted for your whole life finally wins. Not only finally wins, but finally wins after you were losing 100 games for a couple of seasons. And It's finally, and then lost, by the way, a World Series in 2005, right? Finally win the title. And here we are a couple of years later, and people want to strip it down. They want to take it away. They want to put a black mark on it. They want to tell you that it's invalid. They want to tell you it's not important. And as we have said a number of times, you got to look beyond that World Series to remember what was happening to the city of Houston a month or so before the World Series.
Yes.
And how important that team was to the people of Houston. So rightfully so, they're going to be defensive because it's not easy for somebody to just take away the emotional attachment of what that night meant. The night that the final out was captured and the Astros were the champions of the world. And now here's a couple of years later, their team is being raked across the coals. You've got players all over baseball now speaking out on this, saying all this, you know, how the players should have been punished. This, some suggesting the titles should be taken away, should be vacated. Media members now saying, you know what? You don't have to award the Dodgers the World Series championship, but you certainly can't give it to Houston. All of these things that are coming out of the woodwork, some justified, maybe some a little over the top. But for the Houston fans, Don't expect them to just crawl under a rock and go, yeah, you know what? They banged a trash can and tipped off the pitches and all of the things that I felt in 2017 are all for naught. They're going to cling on to that emotion. They're never going to give that up. They're never going to give that up. The parade, the ring, the championship, the celebrations in the city for days, they're not giving that away.
No. In fact, I joke with a bunch of guys here in Houston, just because shortly after that, they went out and they got the gold jerseys. You know, and it's basically just it's a white Astros jersey, the normal white jersey that they wear, but the Astros are in gold letters, there's gold emblems, says World, you know, World Series champions on it.
Right.
And I'm like, you got to get a turn those in, right?
Ah!
Can you turn that in to get a refund now? You have to go and exchange it for a normal Astros jersey?
Right.
Maybe the retro one? I don't know. Can't be wearing that one around town.
But here's the other problem, right? Because history is a real the memory of history gets condensed as the years go on, right? Like, it's one of those things where you take any historical event and you know there are a lot of details that led into it, right? There's a lot of things about, you know, all how some, like World War I, right? Archduke Ferdinand gets shot. Well, there's more to that, but we simplify things.
Yeah.
And we do it in sports too. We simplify things, right? I used to make this argument about Brady. I used to say Tom Brady had to fight Deflategate. I didn't care. People would say, why is he taking this to court? I said, I would too, because you don't want history to condense your career as he was suspended for four games because he was a cheater. And that's, you know, and then he did sit out the four games, but I said, fight this to the end. Because people won't remember the details. They'll just remember you sat out four games for cheating, so they'll just assume you're a cheater, and it'll get passed down through the generations that you did. That's what's happening here. All of these players that are coming out and saying, the Astros should have a vacated title. These players should have been suspended. I can't believe baseball didn't do enough. The more ammunition you give to the people that want to see justice occur for the Astros, the more history is going to remember them as flawed champions for decades to come, for years and years. Now, to somebody in Houston, that shouldn't matter. It should be us against the world. Patriots fans know that lesson well. Us against the world, I don't care. You're not taking this away from me. I don't care. But just in the context of history, right, people are just going to look back and go, yeah, that was something went wrong there. They did something. They won the championship, but in the end, they were proven to be frauds. That's what's on. That's what's coming down for the 2017 Astros. And once the Red Sox get moving into this as well, the Red Sox of 2018 too. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue along, happy Tuesday. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Alrighty, glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along. Happy Tuesday, post-President's Day. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. By the way, we found out yesterday that I didn't know this, but President's Day is it's the combination of Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday. I always thought it was just President's Day. So happy birthday to those two guys at some point in this month.
Yeah, don't you remember when growing up, didn't you have Lincoln Day and Washington Day?
Yeah, I remember Washington's birthday. It? But if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember. We were talking about this yesterday.
Lincoln's birthday is February 12th, 1809.
I don't remember getting that day off from school.
Lincoln's birthday? I do.
But I
remember
I
getting both of them.
But then again, I did have a winter break. So they might have just said, look, we're not giving you that day off.
Yeah, it could have been a California thing.
But at the end of the month, we're giving you a winter break. You see, heat is very expensive. And when you go to school in the middle of nowhere in New Hampshire, where it's minus 35 degrees outside, they'd rather kick it to June, where it's a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
See, so the more they can give you time off in the winter, the better.
In California, it's the opposite, because AC
is expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
So you want to try to get the kids out of the school as quickly as you can before summer hits.
I don't even think my elementary school had air conditioning. I think it was just like, we'll just open the windows. I think that was about it. But I didn't remember getting the day. Now, listen, my mother was part of the school district. If she tells me later, no, you had that day off as a kid, I will go, okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember. It's not like it was that long ago, but I don't remember. So, but anyway, happy birthday, Lincoln. Happy birthday, Washington. And happy birthday to any of the other presidents whose birthday falls around this time on the calendar. We don't want to overlook you either. We just don't know who you are. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.